Hey everybody, it's Andy, and before we jump into today's content, I want to tell you about an extraordinary offer from an extraordinary company called Belay. That's Belay, B-E-L-A-Y. Belay offers five-star virtual assistant services and virtual bookkeeping for churches, nonprofits, and businesses. In fact, several of my friends and associates use Belay and they love them. In fact, they love them so much they say they will never ever go back to managing a personal assistant, which of course makes my personal assistant very nervous. Now, some of you were around when we aired our Creating High Performance Teams podcast this past fall, and after that, we received several questions related to how to foster teamwork in a remote context. And Belay is part of the answer to that question. They are an award-winning, all-remote company where everybody in the company collaborates from their home offices. Belay is a leader in how to create high-performing remote teams, both within their own organization, and they will help you do the same as well. Now, here's the good news. For our podcast listeners, Belay is offering their free download of 13 ways to build a high-performing remote team. It's filled with tips to keep a remote team performing with excellence, and you can download it at their website if you'll just go to belaysolutions.com/Andy. That's belaysolutions.com/Andy. And now, here's Lenny.
Welcome to the Andy Stanley Leadership Podcast, a conversation designed to help leaders go further faster. On today's podcast, we'll talk about the important topic of leading at home. Well, Andy, as we begin today's podcast, we're joined by a very special guest. Why don't you introduce her?
Yes, she is special indeed. Today, we are joined by my wife, Sandra Stanley. We have been married for 30 years, and when we talked about this podcast, talking about leading at home, I thought, well, to keep me honest, I should bring in my leadership partner, Sandra. So she's going to join us on the podcast today. Welcome to the Andy Stanley Leadership Podcast.
Thank you. I'm excited about being here.
We're so glad you're here. Well, so Andy, why this topic on a leadership podcast?
Yeah, well, this is a little bit different, and it's somewhat a departure from what we normally talk about. But the truth is, and the reason I felt like this was worth introducing into the conversation, is that really, just speaking personally, my only unique leadership role, I mean, as much as I do and as much as we do together in our organization, my only unique leadership role is the role of father. Hmm. Every other leadership opportunity that comes my way is an opportunity that someone else could have, and truth is, it's an opportunity that eventually somebody else will have, right?
True.
And this is why I tell leaders all the time, don't give up what's unique to you for something someone else will do. And really, the only thing that's unique to me in my leadership is my role as father. So this is a leadership issue, and it's an issue especially for moms and dads out there who are trying to lead in the marketplace and lead at home.
And to the moms out there, your only unique to you leadership role is mom. So this is super important.
And the truth is, if we don't get this right, I don't think it really matters all that much what else we get right when it comes to leadership. And, you know, Lane, just, you know, talking to us guys, unfortunately, a lot of times men especially go home, and when they go home, no matter how aggressive they are in the marketplace in terms of their leadership, oftentimes men in particular, they go home and they go passive. And I think part of the reason is that we don't feel competent or as competent at home sometimes as we do at work. But as we've talked about on our leadership podcast, leadership isn't as much about competency as it is engagement. Mm. And so, you know, especially for the men out there, if you are super engaged at work as a leader, we, over the next few minutes, want to encourage you and inspire you to be equally as engaged at home, because your only unique leadership role is at home.
Well, Andy, when we talk about leading at home, for some, it conjures up this image of a dictatorial father or an overbearing mother.
That's true, and that's why we're talking about this. Great marketplace leaders don't make all the decisions at work. We talk about that all the time. Mm-hmm. And great fathers and mothers don't make all the decisions at home either. After all, imposing our will on another person, that's not leadership. Mm. That's something else. So if the idea of leading at home conjures up maybe something from your childhood, that's not necessarily what we're talking about. We're talking about really what we talk about all the time on our leadership podcast. That is leveraging our leadership gifts to lead people, you know, to live better lives and to become all that they can be. And in this case, to not go passive when we go home.
All right. Well, let's jump in. Sandra, why don't you catch our audience up on the number and age of your kids?
Yeah, so as Andy said, we've been married for 30 years. We have three kids. Andrew's 26, Garrett is 24 and married to Danielle, and then Allie is 23. We've had a little over 10 years of student ministry, and we have been a foster family. So we've been involved with foster care for about 8 years. Our foster daughter is 19, and we are still tracking along with her as she's learning to adult, as we are with our own kids. Our kids are in that season of adulting, and so it's a different kind of parenting, but you have 26 years of parenting so far.
Well, Andy, I know when you talk about parenting, there's an important caveat you like to add.
Yeah, and I'm glad you gave me an opportunity to do this. Whenever Sandra and I talk to parents, one of the questions we always get is from single parents. And they say, well, how do we apply this, or how do you do this if you're a single father, or you're a single mom, or if you have your kids half the time? And the truth is, we have no experience in that world. And so whatever you hear us say, this is coming from our context. But we're super sensitive to that because, interestingly enough, both of our fathers grew up in single-parent homes, at least for the formative years of their lives. And so watching our fathers emerge from those situations that were not ideal and yet be extraordinary fathers is an inspiration to us, obviously. But also, it's just a reminder that there's no perfect way to do this, and everybody is struggling to get it right. And so we just hope that you can take our insights and our ideas and apply them to your specific context. But we don't want to pretend that we know more than we do, especially about a single parent or even a blended family.
Well, Sandra, as we get started, what are some foundational things you learned early on?
You know, Lane, one of the most helpful things someone shared with us early on were the four stages of parenting. It seemed important to us when we learned it, but wow, it was so helpful. And it gave us a foundational framework for parenting. And particularly for me, when I occasionally felt stuck in a season that seemed like it would never end, those early years were harder for me. But the four stages of parenting, and it was explained to us that years 1 through 5 were the discipline years. These are those early years when kids are learning that there are consequences for behaviors. During those years, we disciplined for three things. So we called them the 3 Ds: disobedience, dishonesty, and disrespect. The flip side of that during these discipline years were we celebrated like crazy obedience, honesty, and when the kids were respectful. The next season was we called the training years. That was about 5 years old to about 12 years old. And this is when we began working with our kids and teaching them the why behind the what, explaining while we're training and connecting their behaviors to the broader world and connecting their behaviors to just consequences and what life is really like. The next season is the coaching years, and those are about 12 years old to right around 18 years old. And you know, this is a harder season. A lot of parents are scared to death of this season. We're a little more on the sidelines when they hit these teenage years. We're connecting more than we're correcting, but we're not afraid to yank them off the field every once in a while and help them figure some things out. So this is a season where we began allowing for natural consequences. So when there are certain offenses and things like that, we make space for some natural consequences because they're about to be launched out into the real world where they're going to be facing some natural consequences. And then the last season is the friendship years, 18 and on. There's some leeway in all of these seasons. Some of them bleed over into others. But these friendship years are kind of the goal, you know, kind of the carrot that hangs out at the end of you really do hope that when you're finished with your heavy duty, heavy lifting parenting, that you're able to be friends with your kids and that you're able to enjoy and that they want to come home even when they don't have to come home. That was a goal that we always had.
And if I could say one thing here, you know, at the beginning of the podcast, I talked about the tendency, especially for men, I think, to be passive. And here's what Sandra and I saw, and she mentioned that we were in student ministry for a bunch of years, and I think this helped us tremendously. There's a tendency, again, for dads especially, to go passive during those discipline years and to some extent in the training years. And then if you're passive in the discipline and training years, there's problems in the coaching years. And then the dads oftentimes, the moms and dads, but men, if I can just pick on the men a little bit, then suddenly there is this inclination to come on strong where I've kind of laid back, kind of let mom do it, let mom handle it. But now there are problems, so now I have to get involved. And so what do? Is I have no choice but to overreact because I need to try to overcorrect. So the tendency is to go passive in the early years, to be overactive in the latter years. Neither
and
is
it
a
doesn't
good,
go well.
No, it doesn't go well. It doesn't go well on either side.
Right.
So again, the context of our discussion is leadership. And the moment that a man or a woman becomes a parent, leadership at home begins, and you have to engage. And these seasons that Sandra just went through are so extremely important because they do require a different kind of parenting or leadership, and everybody's got to be involved.
Well, as you're saying, I think those coaching years, those teenage years, are some of the most challenging. Any special insight for the coaching years?
Yeah, when it comes to coaching middle and high school students, one of the best things we did, we learned from Shanti Feldhahn in a book that she wrote called For Parents Only, and it's three words: don't freak out. Don't freak out. When we freak out as parents, it shuts our kids down so fast. Andy and I learned the art of the poker face. And so when our kids would say something that on the inside we're going, oh my goodness, you know, or we're freaking out on the inside, we're looking at them and shaking our head going, oh wow, okay, yeah, tell me more about that.
So after the last match went out, then what did you know?
And then what happened after the fire? Yeah.
How fast?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And the policeman said, what?
This is true for good things and bad things, because as our kids get older, even when they share good things, if we freak out about that too, they're just going to start sharing that stuff less and less. So,
or they will quit inviting you to their ball games.
Yeah, freak out on the bleachers.
That's right. The mom like that it. Overcheers and the dad that's over engaged.
Right.
I mean, that's a freak out. That's,
it's hard for the kids. Yeah,
they pull back
don't like
from
it.
That.
So consequently, as a result of not freaking out over things, we found that our kids would tell us stuff that we never would have dreamed of telling our parents.
We'd say that all the time.
Because we just kind of made a neutral sort of, okay, we hear you, tell me more. And instead of freaking out, it just kind of paves the way to them continuing to talk and continuing to tell you. So if you want to know stuff, don't freak out.
Yeah.
That's great.
Since you ask.
Well, before we move on, as Andy mentioned at the top of the podcast, Belay is offering a free download, 13 ways to build a high-performing remote team, so you can create a high-performing team even if your team isn't located in the same building. You can download the tool and find out more at Belay, B-E-L-A-Y, at www.belaysolutions.com/Andy. That's belaysolutions.com/Andy. Now, Andy, you've said multiple times on the podcast that you're not really much of a goal setter, but you set some family goals way back.
Yeah, and I still have them on a little bulletin board in my closet. And now that our kids are grown and gone, I'm tempted sometimes to take them down because we put a check in the box, we're finished with that. But they were so important then, and there's just something sentimental about that little piece of paper I created all those years ago. So our family goals had virtually nothing to do with how our children behaved. Instead, our goals were really about the type of relationship that ultimately we wanted to have. In fact, we reduced we had three or four goals early on, but we reduced all of them really down to one objective. And it really has informed every decision we've made. And I'm so glad Sandra's here today to speak into this, because this sounds so ideal. I think people would think I'm making this up. And the reason I think it was so easy for us to reduce it down to one thing is what we saw in Sandra's family. She had a very family-centric family. They all loved to be together. So our overall objective as parents was children who want to be with us and with each other when they no longer have to be. We wanted to raise kids who wanted to be with us and with each other when they no longer had to be. And we're in a season now, as Sandra mentioned, where our kids are all in their 20s, and we are experiencing that. Wow. And you are as well, Lane. Your kids are grown. And there's something about kids who want to be with you and who want to be together.
Yeah.
I just think that's the bullseye on the target as a parent. That really is the North Star. And by setting that out there early, it really did become a North Star for how we disciplined, how we scheduled, how we dealt with friends, how we dealt with a whole lot of things. So we didn't parent toward behavior modification. We really did parent toward relationship. And it is it's a different path. It's a different strategy. And back to the reason we're here today, it really is all about leadership, because you lead people in the direction of healthy relationships. And that's our primary responsibility as parents. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree. It's a little bit different during those early discipline years.
Yep.
But as they begin to get older, it really does shift more toward things that aren't quite so objective.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. As Andy mentioned, we're on the reward side of this equation. We are finding that our kids don't want to miss family gatherings. Everybody's on their own, but they still call us for advice. Mm. They still sometimes just want to chat. And we love that. We love that. They seem to want to be with us and each other. And this is amazing to me. It wasn't always like this when they were teenagers. You know, our kids weren't choosing each other when they were, you know, in those training and coaching years necessarily. But now it's so different. And so here's an example. Recently, our oldest son, who is a comedian, which is kind of crazy.
Like professional.
Professional.
Like he's making a living sort of doing this.
Yeah. And like very funny.
Everybody has a comedian in their family.
But before it was full time, it was more of a hobby for him. And he was in this competition and he won this comedy show. And the reward or the prize was an all expense paid trip to Vegas. And he chose to take his brother, which thought was amazing. Well, okay, so yeah, he would not have chosen you to go, even if you had been available.
That would have been funny.
But he chose his brother, and he didn't even like his brother, you know, when they were 15.
Right.
So be encouraged, you parents out there who are wondering if your kids will ever like each other, because it does eventually happen.
But it doesn't happen automatically.
That's right.
This requires some intentionality.
Well, Andy and Sandra, I think you've given all the parents out there listening a real vision for the future. And next month on the podcast, we're going to talk about some practical ways to achieve it. But unfortunately, we're out of time this month. But as we close, Andy, I've heard you talk. We've talked a lot today about what we want. I've heard you talk about three things as parents that we don't want.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What we don't want is perfectly behaved children who don't want to come home. And Sandra, you may want to comment on this. When we spent about 10 years working with families and with teenagers before I started doing what I'm doing now, and we saw some parents just parent toward behavior modification and parent toward strictly obedience. Right. And then when the kids were old enough not to have to come home,
They were out of there.
They never came home. And they were, quote, good kids.
Their hearts were not drawn back.
Yeah.
They were ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah. The second thing you don't want to do is you don't want perfectly behaved kids who can't wait to leave home, who are just, you know, chomping at the bit to leave. And third, you don't want children whom you can't wait for them to leave home either.
That's right.
And, you know, we see that sometimes. In fact, we've
off the days on the calendar.
Yeah, exactly.
To May.
Where they're counting down the days to, you know, when they finally graduate and they finally leave. So, you know, there are days when all of us feel all of those things,
right.
I'm sure. But at the end of the day, again, just parenting toward behavioral control or modification or just obedience or whatever it might be, that's not a win. We really are convinced the win is kids who want to be with us and who want to be together when they no longer have to be. And because of jobs and geographical distribution and, you know, all the things that happen when kids grow up, it's not always possible to do that. But we certainly want kids who want that.
Well, Andy and Sandra, thanks so much for today. And to all of our listeners, we want to thank you for joining us and invite you to visit andystanley.com, where you can find the Leadership Podcast application guide to go with today's conversation. As a reminder, the application guide found under the podcast tab includes key takeaways from today's podcast, questions for reflection or discussion, resources discussed, and more. So be sure to check out andystanley.com today.